Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil, powered by Coe's BMW. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3TheFan.com Cecil Landon.
Let's go out to that VIP line and bring on to the program Dr. Jen Welter, of course, first female coach in Madden and the NFL. Dr. Jen Welter, it's Nick and Cecil. Good evening and welcome to the show tonight.
Hey, guys. Always good to catch up with friends.
Always good to talk football with you and talk to where we're at in terms of diversity in the National Football League. It seems like other leagues are a little bit ahead of where the NFL is in terms of more women in coaching, more women in officiating, all the, you know, women in scouting, like all these sorts of things. Where do you think the NFL is, Jen, and how have they kind of made progress and made strides since you were first in the NFL?
Well, you know, the first thing I will point out is that it's hard to compare the NFL to other leagues because there's not the same pipeline in terms of collegiate sports, in terms of, you know, even opportunities to play pro. So I think relative to where we started 5 years ago, this is a lot of progress. I think we get in trouble if we try and say, oh, but the NBA did this. The NBA should have been further along, actually, if we look at it that way, because they've had women in the same buildings for a lot longer. So I could push back on that, too. But in terms of the NFL, you know, it's great to see so many of the women's football really, like, founders progressing through their careers and getting opportunities to expand in ways that we started playing not having. Right? Kelly Brunson, Team USA alumni. She's in Cleveland. Katie Sowers, Team USA alumni, who was with the 49ers until just a few days ago.
Right.
You know, Jennifer King played, Lo Locus played, and now anyone who comes up through the game can see that, you know, there are places to go.
Well, Jen, when I look at organizations or head coaches who are doing it the right way and they're not following a trend, they blaze the trend. I look at Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when you look at his staff, and yes, he hired you when he was with Arizona. Why do you think that, you know, Bruce Arians has looked at his staff and elevating, you know, minorities and women more so than other coaches and organizations?
You know, I know for Bruce, when we first talked about it, it was something that really struck him as a way that he could be an advocate for change in the microcosm that he controls, right? And I hope that that's what we would all look at. We, you know, it's easy to get frustrated with the big picture, but if we can make change in our house, then, you know, we can set the standard. And he's been doing that for a long time. I know for me personally, when he looked at hiring me, he talked about Dot Murphy, who was a coach at Hines College when he was in college, and she was a receivers coach. And he said to me, it's like the fact that it's no different all these years later, somebody has to change that. And I think you're the right woman to do it with, right? That was special. And so he was primed for that. And, you know, I look at really positive examples, for example, like Nick, you know what all-star games mean to kids,
yes,
right? And just this past weekend, I coached in the Pylon 7-on-7 all-star game. We had guys getting ready to go Oregon, Michigan, all over the country to play in big-time programs. None of them had ever had a female coach before, and all of them were like, oh, man, she knows her stuff. Right? I didn't walk in with, hey, I've done this before. I just started helping them on a football level. And then after they found out who I was, they were like, oh, I knew it. You had to be that coach because you just came up here with too much football IQ. And I told all those kids, when you go to your program, I said, people are going to look at the pictures and the videos and everything from this event. And they're going to say, who's that lady? Was she somebody's, you know, daughter, wife, you know, whatever? What was she doing there? And I just want you to not get mad because it's not about getting mad, right? Just be an educator and just say, that was one of my coaches. And yeah, she knows her stuff, because you can now be advocates for change going forward in how we normalize things.
Dr. Jen Welter here joining Nick and Cecil on The Fan. And Jen, I am the father of two teenage daughters and, you know, young ladies growing up in a interesting world, to be sure. You know, what kind of motivation or guidance would you have to young females out there? Because my oldest daughter is going into the medical field, and then my youngest daughter, she might want to do what I do. Like, she's got really good personality, really good voice. And that's something in seeing women in media now and the challenges that follow there. Just what kind of tips, advice, guidance would you give to young females out there like my daughters who are, you know, pursuing their dreams?
Well, for you, first of all, as a girl dad, big props. it does make you look at the world in a slightly different way now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're looking
yeah.
at the vantage point of somebody who loves his daughter and wonders why it's harder, right?
Right.
On certain
right.
levels, because mm-hmm. it is.
It's scary.
And so, yeah, it's scary and it's tough. And so, and female role models that you want them to aspire to be, you have to actually seek them out, right? 4% of the media coverage in sports goes to women. So it's not as easy for girls to find people that they aspire to be. Those with the biggest followings are, you know what, the Kardashians? Okay. Well, as a girl dad, that might be a little frightening. not that they don't have great business acumen,
right,
but like,
right.
I don't want that to be my daughter's whole world. So you're going to have to be intentional about seeking out role models that you want them to see, right? So, you know, you filter some of those things and introduce them to those stories. And yes, be intentional about it because representation matters and women are underrepresented, especially in some areas. So be intentional about seeking them out. Now, if I'm talking to them, what I'm going to tell them is let your game speak. Let your game speak louder than your gender. Let your game speak louder than your haters. Let your game speak so loud that if they pass on you, you will give them whiplash with your ponytail when you run on by and do the damn thing, and they regret the fact that they didn't pick you for their team, right?
Love it.
Because they don't owe you a spot just because, like, there is not a job for showing up while female. That's not actually a thing, except it might be on an Instagram influencer. I have yet to figure out what that is. But, you know, in general, showing up while female isn't enough. Okay, well, you have to let me play. Well, okay, but are you good? Right? Like, if I give you the opportunity, what are you going to do with it? And you have to be ready and you have to be good.
So we're now in the midst of a huge hiring cycle in the NFL. And right now, the word of choice is diversity. Right. And everyone is struggling to figure out, well, what does that mean for them personally and from a company standpoint? And when you view it, knowing as though a lot of men are being hired, are we to a point where we can now accept women in the game of the NFL and look at them as being, you know, GMs? And how is it that we get women in that position where they can be considered for that very position?
Right. I don't know that we're quite there yet to consider women as a GM. I think sometimes that rapid rise can actually hurt more than it helps. What I'd rather see is intentionality in terms of mentorship and growth trajectory, right? If you want to be a female GM, you need to understand scouting. You need to understand football. You need to understand the finances of cap and, you know, the inner dynamics of the team, all of those things, right? There's a lot of aspects to it. You know, Amy Trask was a president and she was phenomenal from what I understand, but we want you to not only go into the situation that you could try for it, but that you're going to crush it, right? Because when you crush it, then you see, like, you know, my whole goal was that nobody looked at what we did in Arizona and said, see, that's why you can't have her there, right? Like, as the first, you don't want to be the reason why there cannot be a next. So we need to start being really intentional on growth trajectories and pairing people with opportunities and people who want to mentor. That's the thing that I regret about. If I could go back and change one thing about Arizona, it would have been having someone help me with a game plan to know what was next, right? Some real mentorship. Right. Hey, go here. You know, let's make sure that you get to coach at this all-star game so that you get to meet other coaches. let's make sure that you go to the Senior Bowl. I know it's in Mobile, Alabama, but that's where everybody goes. I was an outsider, and I think on a lot of that, like, I could have been guided better to be smoother because I didn't have that normal locker room interconnectivity of, you know, somebody could vouch for me who had played with me or, you know, been on the field. Like, those opportunities were inherently limited because I came from the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, definitely makes sense. And Dr. Jen Welter joined us here, Nick and Cecil. And Jen, that's where I met you, was at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, you've always been out there at the forefront, and I certainly appreciate your time, appreciate your insight, as always. I did have a final one for you from me, and I wanted to ask you just about language, because as we've learned in multiple ways, like, language is really important. Like, what we say is really important, and just like society-wise, you know, certain terms that we used to use that were common, now people have seen how those terms are wrong. Like, throw like a girl, right? And the NFL did a campaign that was like, you know, kind of throwing in the face of people that still said throw like a girl, and you don't hear it as much as you used to, maybe sometimes, but still, like, that change has been, I don't know, to me, like, a big step for a lot of people, just knowing, like, what you're saying is actually incredibly wrong, and there is no throw like a girl, right?
Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. That's one of the things that we took with Gridiron Girls is, like, hey, it's not you throw like a girl or a boy. You've either been taught how to throw a football or you haven't.
Right.
Right? And through great coaching, you can do all of these things. Football may not be your thing, but it might be. And you deserve to be coached and to have a great football experience, not feel like you were left out of a great club simply for, you know, your gender, right? And it really is that. And, you know, I kind of laugh because they say they did a big campaign on Throw Like a Girl. No, it should have been bigger. And it should be more prominent. And it should be like, seriously, did you just say that?
Right.
Right? Because I, you know, I'll flip it when I talk about it. I'm like when the Cowboys defense was struggling so early in the season, I remember talking to somebody, it was Roy Williams actually, and I was laughing and I was like, made you want to go get pads, didn't you? And he was like, yep. And I said, hey, I'd say that they hit like girls, but I know a lot of girls who hit better than that. Right? Like, it made me want to put the pads on. You know, so I think that those are things that we really just have to look at the face of and dismantle them systematically. Mm. And as guys, you are a part of fixing that narrative. Like, throw like a girl. Okay, you better step your game up. Have you seen X, right? Or
right.
Hit like a girl. Hey, I got some tape on Jen Welter. Do you think you can hit like her? Right? Like, and
right.
And those funny pushbacks make it less cool because bullies are just looking for somebody to say, oh, yeah, that's funny. But when you're like, yeah, that's not funny. Have you seen some of these girls play? Like, they'll be like, I mean, you know what I mean. And you're like, no, actually, I don't. I have a daughter. And then they kind of go,
Right.
Well, Jen, before we let you get out of here, I just want to lean on your expertise of evaluating. I know the Broncos are or should be looking for some new additions from the inside linebacker position. Are there a couple of guys out there that you may have looked at and evaluate that you feel as though maybe the Broncos should go in that direction? Or tell us about the inside linebacker position the way that you know it and some of those characteristics.
Yeah, you know, so I think with the inside linebacker position, you really need basically like a Mack and a Mo, right? We always said our Mack was like our Mack truck, right? Like, that's your downhill big boy hitter. And then your Mo was a little Mo flexible, right? He could do a little Mo pass coverage. He, you know, was patient enough to wait for the cutback, you know, some of that, a little bit more of a hybrid. When I was in Arizona, for example, had Kevin Minter more as the Mack. And then Deion Buchanan more as our Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And when you asked me the question earlier, I was looking and I saw three guys that I actually know personally on the ready to be free agent list. So Kevin Minter is a bit of a Mo, he's our Mac. He is a downhill guy. He's been a captain on multiple teams. He is a quiet leader. So his personality is going to mesh well with everybody. Just don't look at him to be like your Ray Lewis, right?
Right.
Then you also have kind of more for your Mo position, or at least in my book, you have Avery Williamson, who's really interesting to me.
Yes.
Avery would have bigger numbers if he hadn't gotten hurt with the Jets when they were switching his position, and they never used him nearly enough, in my opinion. Anyway, he got traded late this year to the Steelers and immediately was an upgrade to their defense.
Yep.
So I love Avery Williamson for that Mo. So you could have your Mac and Mo right there. And then another guy who I haven't personally coached, but I've seen his energy at a kids camp, which always speaks high to me, is Perryman from the Chargers. And their defense, the aggression on it, he is a high motor guy, very smart, and he will actually own your huddle as well. So, you know, you have definitely, on a quick look from when you asked me about it today, those are guys that I would definitely want to see, because I don't think any of them are at an unreasonable price point. Both Avery and Kevin have had to play in multiple systems. Kevin was in, was with the Bucks, then he was with the Bengals, and now he's in that Todd Bowles defense again. So all of those guys are pretty interesting to me for the price point and the leadership that they bring, as well as the motor.
You know what, Jen? It's always an honor to have you on with your level of expertise. And I just wanted to have you on to talk about the diversity issues, but also show individuals that there are women out there that know this game just as well as guys, and they should get those opportunities in scouting, whether it's college or pro scouting, so they can actually climb that ladder. So I'm always thankful for you being giving of your time. And, you know, enjoy your Friday and appreciate it, and know that you are always welcome on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Hey, it's a family reunion. You guys have me on anytime. You know I love you and appreciate you. And it really is special for you to have not only the conversations on diversity, but, you know, let me talk a little shop as well.
Always good.
Love it. Love it. Appreciate you, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
There we have Dr. Jen Welter. Follow her on Twitter at jwelter47 on our VIP line.